Yeah.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Listening to Sappening Podcast.
Sappening!
You are listening to a bonus episode. of Sappening Podcast with myself, Sean Smith, and my roving reporter friend who I sent out on his own. And I was very, very worried, like a concerned parent. I was so worried. The first time I spoke to him was this morning to ask him how it went. But... yes, here is Morgan Richards.
I like that. Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards. Little question before we start.
Have you punned this now? Go on.
What do you think Dracula calls his savings account?
No, don't you even say the name of this fucking festival, you absolute prick.
It's Bloodstock. Look how happy
you are. I hate it, but I'm laughing because I can see how fucking happy. You were fucking buzzing. Like, you were fucking vibrating with excitement then to get that out of you. You fucking shithead. Like, you absolute shithead. Yes, this week's guest is... metal festival. Bloodstock. Yes, we sent Morgan out to Bloodstock to meet the metal community and see if... Basically, what I did was I told Morgan I was going to a wedding when I didn't really go to a wedding because I was scared to go to Bloodstock because I thought it being such a metal festival, they might behead me. So what I did was I sent a tester along. I was like, oh, well, if Morgan gets beheaded, I'll probably leave it next year. But... how did it go?
Very, very well. Do you know what? It was my first time ever at Bloodstock. And what a lineup to choose. They celebrated their 20th year anniversary as a festival. And let me tell you, this weekend was full of celebrations. So, like, obviously, I've been lucky enough to professionally cover events like these since 2014. Even the podcast, we've done Download, 2003, Slam Dunk, Reading and Leeds. But I've never really worked something... this heavy. So we had the lovely offer to come down. I was intrigued and I had to experience it all. Sean did go to a Mormon wedding. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But just to kind of give you the free-throwing spirit of the fans of Bloodstock Festival, right? I'm not kink-shaming.
But one of the- he is kink-shaming.
But one of the first things I saw on site... was an older gentleman.
Yeah, you've literally said I'm not racist, but go on, carry on. I'm not kink shaming, but carry on. Tell me what you saw. Tell me what you saw.
I just turned my head and there was a man pulling a woman via a dog chain and collar and was very surprised.
Nice. What were they both wearing?
Not a lot.
Lovely. Any photos or videos that you could send over?
But you can imagine.
Just checking.
You can imagine my reaction to that. A great.
Was that it?
Oh, I was just saying it's a shock. I didn't expect it. But anyway, it was a great weekend. I saw a lot of old friends and recorded a lot of surprises for this bonus podcast.
Yeah, I got a couple of questions here for you about this.
Okay.
Was there anybody who wanted to fight you or said anything aggressive to you or anything negative towards the podcast and ourselves?
No, everyone was quite lovely, to be honest, which is surprising, I know.
I don't know why we're expecting them to be so bad, really. Like, how many, like,
it's
come
because
on,
it's just... because me going there is a shock in itself because of my love for emo music. I do have metal roots, you know, I do enjoy a bit of the heavy metal.
Why are we talking about metal like we are grandparents? Like,
it's very Aaron.
Partridge
event, isn't it?
Yeah, we've been to several metal events of our own, carry on. So nobody shouted, "Sapling, you soft bastard," or anything along those lines?
To be honest, I had a lot of lovely people come up and say they're wishing us well at the Heavy Music Awards in a couple of weeks.
Oh, nice.
So I don't know if that's because they hate other podcasts more than us, which seems to be a running theme, the people we talk to.
I have spoken to quite a few people who have gone, "Nah, you're going to win." And I go, "Nah, I'm not." And they go, "Nah, fuck all the other podcasts or whatever." And surprisingly aggressive. So, that's nice that, people care and they think we're going to do well. They're wrong. Don't get me wrong. They're wrong. But it's going to be a hell of a night anyway.
It will. But no, I got some really nice recordings and you're going to be hearing in just a second my conversations with Mikey D of Skin Dread, who went out of his way.
I fucking love Mikey.
To make sure we had the dress room and everything. And it gets a little bit deep. So we're going to be kicking things off with him. I'm speaking to Therapy. Who are celebrating 30th year anniversary recently themselves with their book So Much for the 30-Year Plan, written by our very good friend and former guest of the podcast, Mr. Simon Young.
Yes, nice.
I got some time with Vexed. Megan and Jay have been impressing a lot of people lately with their new wave metal debut album, Calling Culture, that had an amazing set as well. And to top it all off, I did the unthinkable and spoke to the legend that is...
You lost your virginity? Oh, carry on, sorry.
Barney from Napalm Death.
Shut up. No way.
Nobody is expecting this.
When worlds collide. This is fucking... I know we've had fucking Dave Lombardo on from Slayer and stuff, but he's mixed it up with different words. But to have Barney, the growler, the fucking man from Napalm Death, and Morgan Richards, the soft lad from Sapling Podcast.
The soft lad.
fucking hell. What a combination. Oh. The cabbage fruit and nut. Unbelievable.
Wait,
brilliant.
Wait till you see the photo we have together as well. It's even better. But to finish it all off, I've got a very nice surprise as well. As I talked to the Bloodstock booker and boss woman, Vicky Hungerford, for a little behind the scenes look and reflect on a wonderful weekend. So thank you so much to the Bloodstock team for inviting me down. I loved it. As I said, I saw some great sets, some old friends I haven't seen in a while, and these conversations that I can't wait for you all to hear. But just before we get into what I got up to, just a quick reminder that if you enjoy these podcasts and want us to do more bonus things like this, please head over to support us via our Patreon page, patreon.com/sapnin. There's loads of extra things already up exclusively on there, and you get to become a member of our wonderful community who just are lovely to each other each and every day. But also give us a follow and a tweet or a like on Instagram via @sapninpod.
Yes, @sapninpod, that's @sappeninpod, that's @sappeninpod. Yeah, send us a message, send us suggestions for guests, send us questions you want to know. Yeah, just get in touch with us or @sapninpod. Well, yeah, I'm very, very excited to hear this. The fact you haven't got a black eye means that it all seemed to have gone quite well. So, I'm super psyched for this. I'm very, very excited to you and Barney. And yeah, I'm a big fan. Well, I'm a big fan of everything you mentioned as well. So yeah, very, very excited. Big love to Skindred, Vexed, Therapy, Napalm Diath, and yeah, and Vicky and anybody involved with Bloodstock. Thank you very much for inviting us. I'm sorry I couldn't be there. I was at a Mormon wedding. Let's get on with it. Let's just get on the episode. We could talk about anything else after these fucking interviews.
So. Correct. So this is what I got up to at Bloodstock Festival 2021, kicking things off with the Riffmaster himself, Mikey D of Skindred.
And boy, does he have some fucking riffs. Jesus Christ. Sapnin!
Sapnin! What's happening?
What's happening, dude?
Hey, so I've officially made it to Bloodstock Festival in one piece. I haven't died yet. And my first guest of the weekend is, of course, the wonderful Mikey of Skindred.
Am I your first one?
First guest of the weekend.
I feel honoured. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for taking the time.
I've just got here too, so I'm like fairly virginal at this point. So yeah. You've got me in a good thumbs up mood.
Nice. Well, that's what we want. That's what we want. How are you doing with everything lately? How's things? What's the vibe like today?
What's the vibe? I'm great. I'm absolutely awesome. Yeah, we just rolled in. Excited to play. You know, we did the download pilot about a month or two ago. And that was kind of, you know, shaking off the cobwebs, and that was loads of fun. And it was really great to be part of that. And, you know, obviously reading loads of stuff about Skindred should have been headlining it and stuff like that. It was like, oh, wow. Like, you know, quite an honor, really. So, yeah, we're really stoked to be back and doing Bloodstock today. Yeah.
Well, it's one of the things I wanted to talk about because, you know, Skindred, over the years, you've played literally everywhere. Like, the amount of times Benji has said, like, he doesn't care if he's playing Car the Farmer's Park or bloody small venue in, like, the weirdest place in Poland, wherever. Like, when you look at it and you see those kind of comments of going that maybe you should be headlining, maybe you should be, like, people see you as that bigger scale band. This is just quite nice because you've always never really worried what state your area is. You like going to a show, you like performing, it doesn't matter what the background is, it's just you just want to be there.
Yeah, I mean, on the one hand, it's kind of nice, you know, for want of a better word, it's nice to be invited, included, part of it. And, you know, even when, like, for example, the download thing happened, it was like a case of thinking, wow, they've asked us to do it. That's incredible. And then you see all the, you know, there's British bands, and then you see the lineup, and then it's like, yeah, actually, damn straight. They're like, yeah, like, sure. You know, who are you going to call? So, like, you know, it was kind of like we were stoked to be there. And, you know, the same goes for being at Bloodstock now is, you know, we're a known entity at this festival. I feel like these are our people, you know what I mean? Like, really excited to play to, like, the rock crowd has always embraced us, and the metal community has always embraced the band, even though we're a weird band here, you know? We're not, like, our logo isn't, like, spiky and unreadable. Yeah. And
yeah.
That, like,
it's not spider font. Yeah,
and that's totally cool. We're a bit different, but I feel like, despite some comments online that are like, what are those guys doing here? Like, for the most part, the vibe is very, like, inclusive and accepting, and, you know, like us or hate us, people are going to be jumping up and down. Yeah. In a minute.
That's weird though, you get so many polar opposites with stuff like that online. Did you ever, like, think how can one crowd literally be telling you that you deserve a longer set and the other one questioning why you're there?
I don't really pay too much attention to the negativity, man. Like, I'm just about the positive vibes, you know. Like, happy to be here, stoked to be playing, very grateful to be, you know, at a festival when the world's in such a crazy place, you know. Like, very, very happy to be rolling in here on a tour bus today. Felt like, what Ooh, is this?
It's nice, yeah, like old times, literally, yeah. But do you ever treat any gigs differently for each other, or is literally, as I said, it's just a show's a show for you guys. You always want to, obviously, you always want to bring 100%. You want everyone to have a good time. You want to win new fans over if that opportunity presents itself. But do you look at certain things? Like, have you looked at downloads and Bloodstock as different kind of sets, different energies? Like, how do you go into things when you see so many, like, a different background at the gig?
I think it's kind of like all in your mindset, really. Like, the amount of festivals we play in a summer, we literally, you know, we'll play this gig like we're doing today, we'll do that like 40-50 times in a summer across Europe, and that's, and we'll do that without even thinking about it, like business as usual, boom, boom, boom. And then you get back to the UK, and there's something about being on UK soil where it's like, oh, these are our people. Like, these are, you know, this is where we're from. It feels like a little bit more special and a little bit more important, even though we're doing exactly the same thing. So I'd be lying if I said there wasn't a little bit of, like, nerves or like kind of, you know, like a bit of anxiety about, oh, what's it going to be like? But it's mostly excitement more than anything. You know, the reality is we don't put on any special airs or graces for any shows. Like that, we're still doing the same thing up there for an hour. It's just sometimes you psych yourself up a little bit before and you kind of like, oh man, this is important, this is special, this means something. The reality is we just did the same thing yesterday in Norway. I think it's because like things like this, like, you know, I know you, I know loads of people backstage here, and it's like you meet, you see your friends, you see your mates, and it's kind of builds into that, oh, this, you know, whereas you'll be in the middle of nowhere playing festival, you don't know anyone. It's just like the five or six of you, and you're just like in the dressing room on your phones, like going, oh, when we on, you know, there's less of this. It's like,
it's just a routine then. You're not seeing that.
This
energy
is like school union. Yeah. And you get to play, you know, it's like, it's an extra little bit of fun.
Yeah. Especially over like the last 2 years everyone's had as well. I'm sure it's just been great to get back on it and see people.
It was weird just getting together because, like I said, Download's always a bit of a nervy one, and Bloodstock as well. Like, because it's like, it's home crowd, it's important, big UK festival. But, you know, reality, when we got together and started rehearsing, it was like no time had passed. Like, I'm not going to lie and say I'm probably rustier than I was 2 years ago playing, but it's all in there. It's all in your head and in your hands and that. It's not like, I can't remember how to play this song. It's just your hands do it for you. It's just, it's not as fast as maybe it was, you know, 18 months ago when you were doing it every day.
Yeah, it's just the muscle memory in it overall.
Yeah, but it's so good to be back and so good to be playing. And, it, you know, stoked for the crowd too. I think, you know, the people need it. You know, they need the morale. They need the, like, the positivity. They need the boost of, like, having something to look forward to and get excited about and jump up and down for, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. I can pay testament to that. I've been to, been lucky to be invited to a couple of, like, open air gigs lately, and it's done my mental health so well. Mm. So, you know, it's nice to see people able to do that again. But, like, speaking of those 2 years, I'm sure, you know, Skindred's touring schedule is always busy, especially over the summers. You're playing all the festivals, as you said, you're traveling across Europe, and you've normally got a massive tour, especially over here at the start of the year and at the end of the year. So how was those 2 years off for you? Did it feel really alien, or in some weird way, was it quite nice to have an excuse to stop, take a break, and just kind of be home?
At first, like when the country ground to a halt, and then, you know, the world was ground to a halt, like last March or whatever, last year, it was a bit scary because, you know, this is my income, you know what I mean? Like, fair enough, like, it's, you know, no one wants to think like, wow, they're having their career kind of like put on ice. But in reality, like, yeah, like you say, having the break has been really good, I think. I'm personally really grateful for the time at home, time to be with my daughter, time to be like, time to rest, because like you said, like we play loads of festivals every summer. Yeah. And I've been doing that for like 20 years, you know. Yeah. And it's like, I can't remember the last time I had a summer in the UK at home. You know, I live down in Brighton, and like being able to be on the beach like whenever I wanted, when the weather's good, was like unheard of. Normally I'm like seeing people's pictures on social media of like having a fun time at the weekend, and I'm like stuck in Ukraine airport, you know. Like that's typically my summer. Which again, like, I love what we do, but I've been really grateful for the break. And, you know, we've been busy with stuff. We've been writing. I've got a business, like a guitar effects pedal business that I'm like been really busy with. I've been doing some writing with some other artists, been doing all kinds of stuff.
Nice.
So yeah, really busy. Really busy.
Can you tell us any of the artists you've been writing with?
I can't at this point because it's like super under wraps.
Okay.
But yeah.
How does that process work though? Do they approach you? Are you kind of in some, like, is it like some management thing that offer your services?
Yeah, kind of like my manager's like put me in the same room as a few people and done that kind of thing, which has been great. But yeah, that's like a relatively recent thing. But keeping myself busy with like effects pedals. Redbeard Effects is the name of the company, if anyone wants to check it out. It's like been an amazing challenge that's sort of been growing over the last couple of years. And yeah, I've been doing some work with BIM as well, who are like a music institution, like a university. Been doing some stuff with them. Like, I've been very busy.
Nice.
And my week just seems to go. And getting back to this has been like the jewel in the crown.
Oh, know? No, of course. Well, it's nice to see that you've had that kind of opportunity to explore other things, take a break as well during this time. But no, let's talk about the effects pedal business, man. Like, how did that start, because obviously loads of people in this scene see you as a really high regard you as one of those guitarists who have a signature sound. You mix things up. Obviously Skindred has got so many different influences and different parts and whatever. So like, how did all that begin? Is it something you've wanted to do for a while?
Yeah, it's something I've always been a massive like gear nerd, and always I never even dreamt of like putting my own thing together. Yeah. And someone sort of planted the seed in my mind of about 3 or 4 years ago, and sort of I was full of excuses as to like, well, that'll never work because of XYZ, and then systematically they were like, well, that's not true, and then it was indefensible, and I was like, well, literally, what's stopping me? And then I met my business partner, and it was all very serendipitous, and it all just happened, and it's all just been like, just I got mainlined into how to start a business in something I know very little about, other than being a fan on like as an end user, you know. And then I've just learned so much in the past like 3 years, and the company's doing really well, and we sell stuff all over the world. Yeah, it's crazy, really weird. It's just mind-blowing. Like, I'm learning more and more the older I get, like I can have a really good crack at something that I'm into if I just believe in that first step of having a crack.
Yeah.
Versus like telling myself, well, it won't work because XYZ. Like, that kind of talk is actual BS and very self-limiting. And actually, if I'm into it and I just take that first step of having a go, it will work out, like, which has been really powerful. And that goes for anything, you know, not just guitar effects. That's like that's like life. Like, it's like the biggest life lesson. And don't get me wrong, like the last 2 years have been really up and down and really difficult. The same it has been for anybody and everybody. But I'm focusing on the really good stuff that's been going on for me, and you know, the stuff I'm putting out into the world. So, and you know, Skindred as well, like, we've got loads of stuff about to come out. We're working on a new record. And we've got a massive tour at the end of the year, that's just come out of nowhere. I was like, well, it's happening at the end of the year. And then it's like, we're nearly at the end of the year. It's just unbelievable.
It's August.
That was obviously last year, and it got put back. Everything got put back a year. Like, we're starting like in second week of September, I think. And that is, and then we're doing like, we're playing until Halloween, so like 2 months solid being out and about playing like our headline shows, which is wild.
In venues in front of people, crazy.
Yeah, I can't wait, but I'm also like, what's it gonna be like?
Yeah,
it's really weird.
Are you a bit worried about that, or like, are you obviously just trying to think of the positives and to get back to that live crowd? I'm sure, because you see people walking around these festivals and everything, and people buzzing for live music to come back.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's just gonna see how it goes, cross that bridge when you come to it, to see how things develop, you know. I've really the last couple of years, if anything, one of the biggest lessons I've learned is just sometimes you just got to take your hands off the wheel with life stuff and just like, Jesus, take the wheel kind of thing. sometimes you feel like you're holding on so tight to like controlling elements and aspects of your life and the world, and it's like, things work out the way they're going to work out. Things are going to go the way they're going to go. And you can spend a lot of time crushing yourself with stress and anxiety about like how things are going to pan out. And like, the tour's going to happen when it's ready to happen. I'm really looking forward to it potentially getting in clubs next month. And if it doesn't happen, which I don't know that it won't, then that's for a reason, you know. Like, and we will figure it out as we go. I'm double vaxxed. I'm an advocate for vaccination.
Good.
You know, and I like to think that all our posse are, and I like to think that, you know, our fan base are a similar mindset. And I would like to think that there's some kind of, you know, some kind of system in place where people can come and see a gig without the stress and worry. Like, I know they've sorted that out here. It was the same at Download. I don't know how it's going to work for club shows. I'm not sure, but we're going to keep doing what's the right thing to do, but for our fans, for ourselves, you know, and for the country and for the community.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to that tour now coming about. And as you said, I think that's one of the biggest lessons I've learned lately, is kind of removing yourself from certain situations, not worrying too much. I mean, everything will sort itself out at the end. If it's not meant to be, it's not meant to be, and if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. So
I spent a lot of time stressing in the past, you know, like a lot of time and a lot of energy on things that which pan out one way or another, and sometimes things go to SH1T, you know, and that's okay too, and you figure it out, you know. Like, it's so easy to spend a lot of time going, oh my god, and like, where does it get you? Like, things are gonna happen the way they're gonna happen, and I don't know. I think, you know, like me speaking personally, going into the pandemic last year, I came out of a massive change in my personal life where my marriage ended and like I was getting divorced and all this stuff. So like I had that going on, and then boosh, like COVID, career on pause. So I had like the proverbial SH1T sandwich going on. And you know what? I'm sat here. Life is good. Everything's cool. Nice. And so, you know, I feel sometimes you have to like take a seat back, step back and just.
Yeah, well, it's nice to see you in positive spirits and happy. Absolutely, and excited, man. And everything.
Life is good, man. Look where we are. Like the sun is kind of shining. Yeah. It was supposed to rain this weekend and it's not.
It's not. I've had the panic and I've bought a fucking bandana because I haven't got a hat or anything and I will burn like a beach. Yeah, so that's same. Not good. But no, speaking of like the guitar pedals and stuff, is it on some level, like, even though you've been doing this for 20 odd years and everything, when you think back to the kid who first picked up the guitar and you're studying other like famous guitarists and how they get that tone, how they get that sound, how they do that riff, and now fast forward, you producing stuff for other people wanted to do it on you and they can buy your signature sounds, is that kind of just weird, like, to even process that it's become that now?
It is kind of weird. Like none of the stuff I'm really putting out products wise are totally geared towards any kind of signature do the things I do, because it's never really been how I was coming up. Like when I was a guitar player learning to play, there was no like one guitarist who was like, I just want to be like that person. I was inspired by all kinds of different people, and I like to think that the kind of our people who buy our pedals are like open-minded, not rigid to like, well, I only want to sound, you know, I want to sound like Stevie Ray Vaughan, that's it. It's like, well, there are a million and one pedals and amps and stuff that do that. And like the stuff I'm putting out there is more like kind of like a bit more versatile, a bit more open, a bit more like on the, a bit more edgy. And yeah, being able to do that is absolutely wild. Like if someone had told me, like when I was 15, if someone had told me, you're going to play the guitar for a living, I would have been like, that's, you know, it's bullshit. Like I don't buy it. And then, you know, step forward 5-10 years, it's a thing. Same like 5 years ago, if someone said, you're going to start a successful guitar pedal company, I would have been like, well, no, what? Like, I wouldn't even know where to start. And like, here we are now, and that's the thing. And it's just, yeah, it's weird. Like the more things you apply yourself to, that you go have some belief, a little bit of belief, that it will work out. Boosh, things happen. And so yeah, it is a total mind blower that's the thing. I never would have known where to get started, and then, you know, did a little bit of learning, met the right people, and boosh, now it's a thing. I'm really excited about it. It's my little baby. I'm really happy about it.
I'm sure the journey itself is sometimes even the best bit of having everything come up and the excitement, and then being able to show people what you've been working on.
Yeah, and I think it's really important to kind of like look back in a kind of from a context of progress and remind yourself of how far you've come and where you've come with stuff. That goes for being in a band, whatever you do in your life, like just remind yourself, because we can be so stuck in like bogged down in the pressures and difficulties of now, and sometimes it's important to look back and go, 18 months ago I was in this position, and wow, look, haven't things changed for the better now? Like look at where I'm at now with this. It's incredible, you know. It's important to like just have remind yourself like where you're at and how far you've come. I think that's like, it's good to give yourself a little mini pat on the back every now and again, you know, like you're doing good, man.
No, you've got to have that little reality check and just like, you know, pump. You got to be your biggest fan, because if you're not, well, I was going to say who else is, but you've got plenty.
Well,
so
no, absolutely right. That's my mindset, man. And like, you know, with you guys, like, well, at one point you guys went, we're going to start a podcast. Mm. And there might have been a little bit of trepidation, like, what's it going to be like? Yeah. Is anyone going to care? Yeah. Is anyone going to listen to it? Look at you guys now. Like, episodes in, wicked guests every week. Like, it's happening, dude, because you, like, you know, you guys made a decision. You think this is going to work. Yeah. More power to you. I love it.
Cheers. Thank you. Yeah. It's, again, that process is something else as well. But
yeah,
I won't keep you too long now. But obviously, since we're at a festival, we've got to have some like kind of fun questions. Okay. So obviously, now you've been away for a bit. You mentioned you've done all these festivals, and sometimes maybe especially in Europe, it can just kind of be a routine, and then you come back. What have you actually, what's like the weirdest things about live events or just things like this that you've missed, like in particular? Is there anything like just from the kind of feel or the smell or just fucking seeing people dressed up as the randomest outfits you can imagine? Like what's the things you wouldn't have thought you would miss about?
The thing I never really thought about is when you roll in into the site, like in your vehicle, when you get into the site, is the, like early in the day, a lot of the time, is that first noise of someone checking a kick drum, boom, boom, and that air moving throughout a massive festival site for a huge PA, and the way it hits you in the chest, that feeling of like doof, 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 I'm like, oh my God, we're here and this is happening. Oh my God, this is a thing. And it's just that feeling. Never thought I'd miss that as much as I did. That like is kind of, we've arrived, you know, feel like all this noise in the background now. It's like, there's no substitute for that. Like just massive rumbling bass guitar and crushing guitars being like, being sound checked. It's like, we're here.
Yeah, literally. You know? Yeah. Yeah, literally. And you mentioned writing new music now, and like, you're a process where you've released so much music and they're all different styles. And I've mentioned the different influences, and you know, people have used that kind of reggae metal to describe you guys, because that's maybe the perfect way of trying to say the counterbalances of everything you do. But like this far in now, how do you look at new material? Is it just kind of something to enhance your live show again? Because that's, I think that's maybe what you guys are known more for throughout the world, is how good you can provide a live experience. Or is it still trying to like reach those some things personally that you haven't been able to do, or try new things on records and stuff before? Because as I said, you get to play with a lot of different sounds and manipulate them and stuff with Skindred. So how do you see going into the studio again? Like what?
It's weird because we're very lucky to be able to straddle lots of different worlds in what we do. Like we're playing this, for example, we do Reading and Leeds. We play like really alternative festivals around the world. We don't just do like the metal crowd. We play in front of lots of different types of people. We're inspired by loads of different kinds of music, and like that comes across in the records we make and the songs we play live. So that's just a natural thing that happens as we go. Obviously you're inspired by like other artists who are around now, or maybe like stuff that was around millions of years ago and is still inspiring. I think we're all really inspired by like modern production and modern bands and stuff. And all of us are trying to make our best record, you know.
Yeah.
Like, why would you go into the studio to try and just go through the motions? We still fight about music. We still disagree. we haven't found the formula. We haven't found like, you know, just do this and do that and it'll be okay. I have to have some faith and belief that it'll all work itself out. But a lot of the time, I walk into a recording situation or, you know, a new record going, I have no idea what this is going to be like. I'm a bit trepidatious. God knows what this is going to sound like. But I have to have some faith that it's going to be Skindred and it's going to be all right, you know? There's always a want to write like the biggest song we've ever written. I feel like we're, you know, as we're growing up and learning more about the world, there's more, you know, that we're becoming better songwriters. We're becoming better like riff people. You know, I've always tried to up my game with that stuff as I go. I don't like to rest on my laurels. But it's hard to say. Like, I would be like, obviously we're really well known for like the live thing, but I would be lying if I said that Skindred didn't want to do its best album next time. We're always trying to do that. And you know, like our last record, Big Things, is like most successful UK album we've had in terms of sales. You know, we had a single off that went top 20 in the USA in active rock. Another single off that got A-listed on Planet Rock and a bunch of other rock stations. Another single got synced to a massive Sky TV show. Well, you know, you can't really argue with any of that. And it's like, now, so now I'm like, right, how do I
top that again? Top that? Yeah.
So it's like, I think it's really important to keep like, that was then, looking forward, how do I smash that? Like, and am I honestly, is this thing that I'm playing now in my head, is that anywhere close to like smashing that? If not, then I want to move on to the next thing. And I don't want to, I don't know. I think it's important to keep pushing yourself and to not be like, I'm amazing, whatever I do will be great. I've never really believed that. I just think I'm like you were saying about being your own biggest fan. Like, I'm my own biggest critic. Like,
yeah, you gotta be that too.
Yeah. And I think that's a healthy way of being, as long as you don't give into one or the other too much. I think you have, I think life's like equal parts self-love and self-loathing.
Spiral so much the other way if you lean into one of them.
And try
spiral.
Not to leak too hard into one side, and like, you want to check for yourself, but also give yourself a good kick up the ass if you're not performing and delivering, you know. And so going into the next record, I'd like to think I want to try and top what we just last did, and I'd like to think that everyone would agree with that in our band, you know.
No, for sure. No, it's just interesting you say that, because like, as a band of your pedigree and back catalogue, now there's so many other bands you could say where they could just be like, well, that's it then, we've got the back catalogue, we got the hits, people are going to enjoy it. we'll just do that forever. But instead, you're still challenging yourselves. You're still trying to make the next hit to break into the set list.
Trying to, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's the thing, is like knowing, like in the context of a record, because we're still in the point where we make albums.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a mistake. Maybe Skindred should go, we just do like reduce a song every now and every like 3 or 4 months. Maybe that would be the way to go. I don't know. But I'm still, I'm old school, man. I still believe in a record. I still believe in like, you know, album tracks and like the story of a record and the journey on a record and the context of a record. And, you know, there's that, and then there's also, like you say, well, one or two of these bad boys has to go in the set, so it's got to be good enough to like knock one of the things we all love off. And that, you know, that's on one hand, that's a lot of pressure, but then at the other, on the other hand, it's like, well, like you say, we do know that we've still got an hour and 10 minutes worth of tunes that we can already play, so if we could just get one or two great songs on the next record, then the rest of the tunes you can kind of maybe have a bit more fun with and be a bit more experimental. But it's a really hard thing, like being true to yourself, knowing what your crowd want, get delivering that in an authentic and original but like familiar way. It's really hard, like 8 albums in, you know, to continue to keep doing that and not kill each other in the process is a challenge in itself, and I'm looking forward to it and embracing the process every day.
Well, amazing. Well, dude, this has been so nice. It's been really great to catch up with you and talk to you and everything. But just before you go, oh God, it's going to be a busy time for you now. But is there anything else we can expect apart from pedals, touring, new music? I mean, what else can we keep an eye out for?
I mean, I think we've nailed most of it, to be honest. But yeah, like I said, skindred.net, sorry, is where you can find all of our tour dates. Like, start in September, everything rolls through to like Halloween. If you wanted to check my stuff out, Redbeard Effects on Instagram or Facebook or any of that, like, please come and check out the guitar pedals that I'm now like flogging around the world. And yeah, like new music from Skindred is coming. Nice. We're working on it, and yeah, keep your ears and eyes peeled.
Well, they will. Thank you so much for the time, man. I can't wait for the set, and hopefully we'll speak to you soon.
Thanks, bud. Cheers. You're
listening to Sappy Podcast. It's happening.
Hey,
he's done it.
Yeah. Well, I can follow instructions.
Well, no one was expecting this, but backstage at Bloodstock, I'm now joined by vocalist, animal rights activist, and Aston Villa fan, Barney of Napalm Death.
I'm much more than those things besides, I'll have you know. Yeah. Very specific points, but yeah,
well,
point taken.
The three things I don't think people normally put together. I thought I'd bring them up. What would you like to be introduced as? What would you like to be known as?
Just a bloke from Birmingham.
Just a bloke from Birmingham. I can read it. But how are you, man? Bloodstock Festival. We're here. Sun's out. It's looking like a nice day. How are you feeling?
Very nice. Yeah. Very, very, very breezy and positive, and you know all the rest of it. So I live. I'm only from about half an hour down the road, so you know it's like home from home, I suppose.
Easy day out. But how does it feel for you? I mean, obviously everyone's been just in a world of their own for the last 2 years with everything going on, and I'm sure just being back at an event like this is quite refreshing and exciting for you, being able to see all these people.
To be honest,
together.
It's odd, if more than anything, just not used to it. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, I've gone from being in places where everybody's still really cautious, and rightly so, you know, with masks and etc. to this, you know, it's a bit mad really, but you know, hey ho and all the rest of it. I'm a bit nervous, you know, because I see we haven't played for all that time. Bit of nervous energy, nervous about doing the right thing, you know, in terms of us playing, and but it should be all right.
Yeah, I saw you guys were actually managed to rehearse a couple of days ago for the first time.
We've done a few rehearsals. Yeah, it was fine. You know, it took me a while to get my whole singing system back up to speed. Mm. But it's all right.
Nice.
Hopefully it'll work all right tonight.
I'm sure it will. But it's interesting because you guys are playing really late in terms of live performance and festivals. I think you're on that 11:30 at night going into the early hours of the morning. Does any methods change for you with stuff like that, or are you quite relishing to be that kind of last band on of the day?
Oh mate, we're quite accustomed to the graveyard shift, I'll have you know. But it wouldn't change anything really. In actuality, if you're playing that time of night when it's a little bit cooler, for us, with the kind of with the sort of way we play, with the speed factor and the intensity, it's actually a lot easier, you know, yeah. in a lot of ways. If you're playing, I mean, I know it's not that hot today, but if you're playing in those really blazingly hot sort of central European festivals at like 3-4 in the afternoon, that can be rough. Like Napalm, you know, it's like that can be rough. But this is, it's actually a lot easier, you know, to play at that time in a lot of respects.
Well, one thing I wanted to bring up, and I know it's something that you've always liked to kind of mention to people over the years, is that with Napalm Death, obviously people from the outside see it as this kind of band who do play really heavy, nasty metal in your face. But when you dissect it, really you're talking about love and just bigger than life moments and just like really important things. Is that something that when people do look outside that they just don't, they don't get, and you quite like the fact that they have to dive into it a little bit more?
I mean, the thing is, you gotta look at it like this. Not everybody in this world is informed about every art form, are they? You know what I mean? So realistically, you can't expect people to know. Yeah, and I get it, you know, I get why people think that when they hear it purely on the, you know, sort of listening level. I get it, you know. But that's for people to discover. You know, you can't pull the strings of everything, you know. You can't sort of expect people to know everything about everything. It's just not the way life goes, you know. And, you know, we're not entitled as a band, even though we express certain things, we're not entitled for people to know the in-depth the things. And of course not, you know what I mean? So you just have to rely on people discovering along the way, you know.
But over the years as well, I mean, you must be have some influences or just in your personal life, like things that people would not expect. Like, what kind of music does Barney from Napalm Death like that people would just be like, what, really? You listen to this?
Well, I suppose one thing would be, like, all of us in Napalm, we were always into, like, the 4AD label, which is, like, Cocteau Twins, Deck and Dance, all that kind of stuff. So that's one thing. What else? Yeah, a lot of indie pop music.
Okay.
Because Napalm was very sort of kind of closely associated with the like the indie pop scene back in the 90s and stuff, and a lot of that was to do with like the John Peel sort of connection, but also the fact that Shane, especially our bass player, was always into things like bloody hell, my mind's gone blank. Yeah, so Shane was always into like Friendly and into all those bands, and we loved, you know, things like The Mission, like the early goth scene in some respects was quite influential on Napalm, you know. And so yeah, we just had a lot of sort of connections, I suppose, for want of a better word, outside of the standard scene, you know. So Napalm till today, you know, we're very lucky. We straddle a lot of different sort of musical scenes. So we could play a metal festival, we could play punk festival, we could play like an alternative music festival. We played raves before, you know what I mean? So we'll, you know, we don't care. It's like we don't want to be pigeonholed, you know, we want to be able to branch out a little bit, you know.
Yeah, well, that's the best way to be, and you open up to so many different audiences, see how people interpret the music from different sides as well.
Yeah, I don't want, you know, I don't want to be one of them people that sneers at other people because they don't like the same thing. Who cares, you know? And actually, I'm pretty sure that most people at this festival today would also be that way minded. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. Well, my last gig before this, I went to see McFly last week.
Yeah.
So, you know, a bit different.
Yeah, why not? You know?
And everything. But what have you been doing over like the last 2 years? How have you been able to cope with COVID and everything? Have you just been busy behind the scenes writing, or have you just taking personal time?
We put an album out like September last year. So where a lot of people were saying, oh, no, you know, don't release albums now. We were just like, you know, we've made this album. We're not going to sit on it. You know, it's of its time. It's now. We're going to put it out. So that's what we did.
Yeah.
So we put that out, and then we just kind of lived our lives separately, to be honest with you, and, like, tried to keep on the level, you know, and that was that. You know, we kind of sat it out. not much else to say, really, you know.
Yeah, no, it's fair enough, fair enough.
Same as, I'm sure that's identical to most people.
It's interesting to see how everyone's taken it. You know, some people have kind of said it's a blessing in disguise in some way because they've had the break and maybe they wouldn't have before.
I'm sure, especially people in certain situations, I'm sure that, you know, it's took a lot of the heat out of, you know, some people's lives.
Yeah,
you
literally
know.
A lot of pressure off of it. Yeah. But one thing we do like to mention on this podcast quite regularly is hearing from artists kind of moments that they can't believe they've been able to have or experience so far. So in terms of stuff like, you know, throughout the years, have you been able to meet anyone, any of your heroes that you look back and being like, I can't believe we're...
Here's the thing, man. I'm not a heroes kind of person. You know, there's definitely bands and artists and actors and that I've really, really, you know, sort of appreciated down the years. But I'm not a hero. I've never put people on a pedestal. Because I just think that whole thing of creating elite beings just goes. I know that might sound a little bit intense to a lot of people, maybe, but I just don't. I've never done it. I don't put people on pedestals because I don't want to be put on one myself. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So that's my thing. You know, I just don't have. I don't have people that are hero worship or idolize or hero worship. Mm. I just don't.
Yeah,
well, you know,
we're all human at the end of the day. We're all in the same place.
Yeah, so exactly.
I get that to a certain degree. But is there like anyone or like any moments that you've like experienced and you've just had to maybe sit back a second, take it in and be like, wow, I can't believe we've just done that, or like something you look back on and think that's completely crazy?
I think me seeing Motorhead in the prime, you know, there's a three-piece.
Yeah.
That for me was special, man. You know what I mean? It was formative in many ways in my life, you know. Arguably the first extreme band, you know.
Yeah.
And it was special to me, you know. And if anybody, I could have idolized Lemmy. But in as much as I appreciated for what that three-piece band did, I would never idolize him. I would never put him on a pedestal. It's just not my way, you know. Yeah. So.
Okay. But is there anyone you've kind of seen over the years enjoy Napalm Death and thought, oh, I wouldn't have thought it would have crossed over to them?
Yeah, there has been a few people. I mean, notable people, I suppose. Like the Faith No More guys. Yeah. There was like really big Napalm fans. And like Vic Reeves, like back in the day, you know, Vic Reeves was like a big Napalm fan for some bizarre reason. And you know, you'll get people come out sometimes, you know, and it's just running. But does it faze me? No, for sure.
You know. I think it's nice for some people to hear kind of what their heroes hearing those, having those moments of themselves and stuff. So, I appreciate it.
Yeah, I hate to be boring, you know, I don't place too much stock in those kind of things.
Of course. But with all that as well, I mean, is there anything we can expect going forward with the band now? I mean, obviously, you put out a record last year, but what's the plans at the moment? Just see how things go.
I mean, in all honesty, I think sort of extended touring within Europe over the next year is going to be unlikely.
Yeah,
I would say yes, because I think that borders are still going to get closed. Clubs, you know, it's going to be up and down like that. I think it's next year. We do have a tour in the States actually with Guar and I Hate God. Whether that happens or not, 50-50 at this point, but it might happen, it might not. So we shall see, you know.
Okay, and last question before you go. What do you reckon of Villa's chances this season?
Oh, now you're asking. Now you put me on bond. Yeah, I mean, we've...
some good business. We've made some good signings.
Well, we've got rid of a very expensive player, which is disappointing for about a day, but then reality bites. And, you know, we've bought four or five... really fucking good players, actually. So I'm quite satisfied.
Nice.
We'll see. We shall see. You know, I'm never overconfident, but I'm never too pessimistic either, you know. So
that's the life of a football fan. Yeah. But thank you so much, Brian, for taking the time. Yeah, this has been great.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Forward to the set.
Sure.
Cheers, man. Thanks.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Love and peace.
Yeah.
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
Sapnin, mate.
How are you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
We're good.
Surviving, man.
Surviving. Yeah. We're buzzing now.
First set in almost 2 years, man. We're fucking hyped.
Yeah.
Fucking hype, man.
Well, obviously, I'm backstage now with Megan and Jay of Vexed. How was the set?
It was beautiful.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah.
The crowd were fucking perfect.
Yeah.
So good.
It's always a bit like nerve-wracking when you like play a new place or a bigger stage and you don't know if the crowd are going to like you or if they're going to like want to get involved. But like this crowd just did fucking everything
they,
we asked.
They were up for it, mate.
It was amazing. It, yeah. I was like, can you all just sit down on the floor? And they all fucking sat down. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, that was the easiest thing I've ever had to ask.
Oh, wow, yeah.
But
like, it must, like, a gig like this must feel so great for you guys because especially like so much has changed since the last time you played the show. I know there's a lot of personal things and whatnot, but you've released your debut album. Yeah. The band has grown substantially.
Yeah.
So like, when you get backstage here and you're thinking, oh shit, we're playing a show. Like, does it just feel like a whirlwind of emotions again?
It's weird when you're playing like consistently, you don't, your nerves sort of go away, they sort of die every show. But since it's been so long, mate, I was shitting it honestly, because it's been so long. We're playing songs that we've never done live before. The stakes are a little bit higher,
it was
shaking
emotional
a little bit. Yeah, it was emotional.
I was saying, I'm trying really hard either not to cry or shit myself.
But even walking out on stage, man, it hit me in the chest, man.
Yeah,
it felt so good. Literally,
it was emotional, but it was like, it made like that whole time just worthwhile.
Especially when you have something like special like that and stuff. So if you're just being a Bloodstock today, or if you're being able to check out a few things as well,
you've been here all week.
I got it Thursday.
Yeah.
I've had a brilliant time, man. Yeah.
He's got a big
time.
Headache.
Oh yeah.
I got here yesterday, so I'm all right.
All right, fair.
But yeah, I wanted to see Malevolence. That's who I wanted to see the most, but I missed really them. Good. I was so fucking good. But yeah, apart from that, just sort of been wandering around, checking everybody out, bits and bobs.
Nice. Well, this cult kind of, a festival like Bloodstock has such a wonderful wonderful community of people, especially in that kind of heavy genre, trying to bring people together and being so welcoming at the same time. I mean, that's kind of a reflection on what you guys are all about. I mean, heavy music is something that you really have all gotten into since a young age. Is it just great sometimes to celebrate that and things like this?
Yeah, definitely.
It's weird because we're so aggressive on stage. Like, we just look so fucked off on stage, but we love to mingle in that, man.
Yeah.
We love to meet people and just chat and
we're
all
just
that.
A bunch of twats.
Oh yeah, we're dickheads, mate. We're dickheads. Honestly.
We're up for a laugh.
Yeah, don't be fooled on stage. We're actually fucking cretins, mate.
Well, that's the thing. I think a lot of people think just like, oh God, their music is angry, so maybe they're a bit standoffish and stuff. Sometimes they're the nicest people.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I think like when you lack something in your normal life, as in like none of us really talk about like beating people up and like being really angry in normal life. We're actually really chilled out people.
Oh, what are you doing?
I know. Got it.
Like, we get all our anger out on stage. After that, we just have like not 1% of anger in our bodies.
Yeah, we feel great.
So it's like, how are you doing, mate? You're right.
Yeah, I suppose it's kind of like its own version of therapy, really.
Exactly.
Just
100%.
Yeah. But with things, I mean, you've just released your debut album not so long ago. I mean, I've seen so many amazing reviews online. People seem to be really, really loving it.
Crazy.
How does it feel now getting past that point? Because obviously the build-up to a debut album is so much pressure. I'm sure you're kind of overthinking everything. Now it's out, you've had a little bit of time to reflect on it. How are you feeling about everything?
It's weird. I think I speak for all of us when I say it's still not 100% sunk in.
No.
It just feels so weird to have it out, because we were clutching onto it for so long, waiting for people to hear it.
Yeah.
So to have it out, it's weird, man.
It's a relief, really, but at the same time, we kind of almost feel as if we haven't quite finished it yet. Because I've said it a million and one times, but we experienced the release from just being at home and like reading reviews and like not actually getting out and touring it. So
we would love to have toured it, man.
Yeah. Today is like the first day we've actually got to experience what it's been like. So it was amazing.
Yeah. But I'm sure you guys have got plenty of plans for shows now, all lined up, right?
Yeah. That's what we want to do now. Get in the van and not come home.
Yeah. Well, what's one thing you've missed about that kind of experience of getting in the van together and playing like the randomest venues?
It is the best feeling.
Yeah.
Like,
I think like for me, what it is that we genuinely are all, like, including our engineers and photographers, like best mates.
Yes. Mm.
So it's like going on a lad's holiday, but I'm the only girl. Yeah.
It's literally like holiday.
And we just don't ever stop laughing and smiling. Yeah. It's just hilarious.
It's never felt like work.
Yeah.
It's so exciting. Leaving for tour, first day of tour is the best way.
Yeah.
Literally. And the drive to wherever we'd be in the van for like.
The van is the best bit.
We're in the van for like 22 hours going to Switzerland. I had a fucking great time, mate. It was brilliant. I had a great time.
Do you say that? There's many bands who just go, nah, that's the worst.
Yeah. Oh, fucking hell.
It's because we always get on so well.
Yeah.
You can't be bored.
There
really
is like bromance next level. Like, we all absolutely adore each other. So it's great.
No, that's fantastic to hear. That's fantastic to hear. But since we're at Bloodstock, I've got to ask this, right? It's my first time being here. I've walked around. I've had a double take of a lot of things. The odd things I've seen, or people dressed as and whatnot. Anything like that catch your attention this weekend? Anything you're a bit like, oh, that's interesting?
I mean, I think I've seen it all before. I think we're kind of probably the people that are looking at us being like, oh, well, that's interesting, because we're the ones walking around in tracksuits.
Well, I don't know. You say that, I literally saw a couple earlier dressed as R2-D2 and Yoda.
Yeah. So I see a bloke that had a t-shirt saying, Jesus is a cunt, and a bloke stood next to him had a t-shirt saying, he's probably an alright bloke.
Oh, they planned that. Wow, fair. Well, what else can we expect now from you guys coming up? I'm sure there's plenty
shows,
of plans,
man.
Yeah, just
shows.
Yeah.
New music is imminent. It won't be long, I'm sure. We're keen to write, we're keen to get stuck in and release stuff again.
Yeah.
But for now, we just want to fucking play, man. We just want to play so bad.
And how would you kind of describe you as a band if no one's ever checked you out before? Like, what's your selling point?
I think it's a cathartic release.
Yeah.
Like, especially over the last couple of years that we've had, like, you've got all that pent up emotion and anger, and the best place to release it in a healthy way is getting in a Vex pit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
It's a safe place, it's a loving place, but you might get a swing as well.
Yeah. That's what we all expect. That's what we all expect. Yeah.
You'll lose your jaw, but you'll feel great.
Yeah.
In a way, yeah. No, but thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you for having us.
Hopefully I'll catch you guys soon.
Yes,
yeah, for real.
Thank you.
Cheers.
So much.
Thank you.
Cheers, buddy. Thank you.
Sweet.
Nice one.
Woo! Sapnin'
Podcast! Sapnin'.
Seven.
Hey. Just like, you know, just in case we catch you out, just in case. Now backstage at Bloodstock by the wonderful Therapy. How are you guys?
Oh, we're good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Enjoying the weekend so far?
Yeah, we got here about 45 minutes ago. Yeah. It seems all go, yeah.
Yeah, our weekend's just starting. You know, we're fresh and ready to go.
Yeah. Well, if Sean was here, he would have made us pronounce it Therapy because of the question mark. Mm. I'm sure you've had loads of jokes and stuff with that over the years. Does it get old?
To be honest now, it just kind of tunes out because I think but it's especially, I mean, we've gone to basically, I think we've been to nearly every country in the world now on tour. Yeah. And the first time you go somewhere, that's normally the first question that's asked. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I can imagine. Well, the big thing surrounding you guys at the moment is obviously you've been celebrating over 30 years together as a band now, looking back at all your amazing accomplishments, really the inside stories about everything. When looking back on it now and being able to revisit a lot of that, is there any like moments that have sticked out or like really thrown you off to think, oh wow, I can't believe like there's a bit you've never thought about? Is there, like, what's been different about looking back over those last three decades?
Well, it was really good, obviously, with all the 30th anniversary stuff. You know, we went and re-recorded some of the, well, the UK hits and stuff like that, and we did the book with Simon.
Yeah.
And the book, I was great, you know, because Simon took it year by year, very methodical, and quite a few things at the time, you just, because you're in the middle of it all, you're kind of, it's forward motion, there's not really a lot of time to stop and, you know, take stock, you know, and it was interesting going through the things like that, because some things that I felt had kind of wound me up at the time, I realised they didn't really wind me up anymore. And then there's a couple of things that had happened that I thought, oh man, I should have just kicked up a stink about that, you know, just certain things that you kind of let fly and stuff. But I think that's just the nature of being in a band for the period like that. But no, there's no real big moments, you know. There's obviously certain things that, you know, the first time we played headline the Ulster Hall in Belfast, first time in Top of the Pops, first time to go into North America and stuff like that. But I think it's just the whole general 30 years of it is kind of is the point of it. Yeah. You know, there's not like one big peak and that's the focus for everything, you know. It was kind of the whole thing, good and bad, you know, is all part of it.
Yeah, no, yeah, I'm sure. But especially like these last 2 years, 18 months with everything going on, I believe like this is the first time you guys have been really being away from each other for that long and not being able to go on the road, make music and everything. So what have you been up to in that time? Has it been quite nice in some way to have time off? Or
the first, I think, maybe 6 months were really good because it's, in 30 years, we've never ever had this length of time off, you know. We've never ever had more than 6 to 2 months gap between a show.
Yeah.
And even then, it's only been because maybe a band member's broken an arm or because we're writing an album.
Yeah.
So that was insane. But I actually enjoyed it. I kind of quite enjoyed it. I live in a little village out in the middle of nowhere in Cambridge. And I enjoyed the kind of Charlton Heston and the Omega Man aspect of it. You know, the day after tomorrow, I kind of enjoyed 28 days later, whatever it is. I like getting up in the morning, there being no other fucker about. I like that. And that helped write music. And we've been writing lots of music. Thing after that, I realized then this has kind of got to the point where it's impinging on my livelihood. And
yeah.
I need communication with the other guys.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
Well, you know, we were always in touch every other day. Mm. And we were in touch by Zoom, phone calls, lots of texts. But yeah, I think now it's come at just the right time that I think we're just ready for it. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
It's I'm caught up in all my gardening projects, you know. that was always my excuse not to garden. Every summer I'll go all these festivals. I'm away all summer. We can't do that. And I had no excuse last summer. And I had to face down all those projects that were haunting me. So that the garden's in pretty good shape at the minute.
Well,
so
we've got to ask, what projects have you done? Have you been planting stuff? If you go
there was fencing involved. Ooh. There was a new shed. I'm very pleased with my new shed. The old shed's getting phased out. And yeah, just general, you know, the stuff that it's easy to put in the back burner.
Yeah,
you know, because,
yeah, you
know,
never get around to it.
30
kind of
years of never having really, every weekend, you know, we were away.
What was funny before we came away is actually Michael said, I've bought a hedge trimmer. And Neil, our drummer, replied, went, actually, I bought one last week. And I went, I've just been back from home base where me and my wife got one for the Edge. So within 2 weeks, all three of us have bought Edge drummers. That's how rock and roll we are.
Oh, nice. That sounds... Oh,
you so could... if you hear of a therapy bizarre gardening accident, you'll know yeah. Hedge trimmer related.
Oh, well, that's the name of the new record, Hedge Trimmers. Yeah, it's got to be. Yeah. It's got to be, guys. Oh. But what? How has that writing process gone so far? Is it just ideas? Have you got like a foundation?
The album's written, yeah. We're getting into... the studio in October.
Oh, nice.
To do it, to record it, because this is our last show of the year. And because there was no point doing any shows and rushing them out when everybody's trying to get on the road now that things are lifting a little bit. So our entire year's, well, we've got 7 months worth of work, which has now been transferred from next January until the end of the summer. Then the record that we record in October will come out next October, and we'll go on tour again to record that. So we will get a full year's worth of work out of that. So yeah, we go in October. The album's written. It sounded really, really good. We'll probably have maybe two more rehearsals before that, just to make sure we know the material inside out. And then it's just a matter of getting it recorded really well and getting it really well mixed.
Yeah. Oh, that will come, yeah. And I'm sure, like, especially looking back at the last few years with albums, you've always had maybe, like, a 2-3 year gap.
Yeah.
So it's kind of worked out quite well in a way to process that as well.
Yeah, it worked really well, you know, and it's, you know, there's no real hard and fast, you know, rules of how we like to do things. I think we're quite adamant that we will not, you know, this says, you know, we will not put an album for the sake of putting out an album. If it takes us a year, 2 years, 5 years, whatever, you know, until the album's right, you know, we're quite, I suppose, selfish like that. And I think we maybe learned that in the past, where there's been, you know, you're getting pressure saying, oh, well, you know, there's a tour booked,
yeah,
the album needs to get done,
yeah.
And you know, you learn by your mistakes and think, you know, we should have just said no, cancelled the tour and worked on the songs a little bit longer. But you only know that from making that error. So we're quite, you know, we do it when it's right. You know, we have obviously, as Andy said, the 30th anniversary stuff, which was meant to happen last year, has now all been punted into 2022. So we feel quite strongly that we should honour that first, because a lot of those shows had sold out. You know, it was cancelled, well, not cancelled, postponed maybe 3 weeks in advance. So I think there's a lot of people deserve to get the 30th anniversary party 2 years late, but you know, it's going to be 2 years better.
It's fine. I think everyone's been doing that. I've seen loads of bands celebrating 15th anniversary of records, and they're calling like the 17th year anniversary and all that now. So I go with it. Let's have random number anniversaries from now on. Why not? But let's talk about the book a little bit as well, because Simon's being on the podcast before, talking all about it and really went into in depth on his side of kind of researching and doing interviews with you all to try and kind of get the feeling of what happened year by year. I mean, when it was released and having it like in your hand and going through it again, did you just feel like that was a perfect representation of the last 30 years, and Simon being the obvious choice as someone who's been there for so long supporting you guys?
Well, I'm glad that you had Simon on the show, because we have had so many people approach us about writing a book over the years, and the publishing industry is a weird one. Because we had, first of all, we had a big writer want to approach us about doing the book, and then a bigger project came in, so we abandoned it. And then there was two mooted projects, but we were going to have to invest in the book and put some money in it ourselves. And then Simon, who we've known for years, who was a big Therapy fan and used to come to our shows, obviously was the editor crying in the past. Yeah. Simon turned up and basically went, I'll do the book, and by the way, I've had a word with a few publishers, so I can also get it published worldwide, if that's what we want. And we just went, well, that's the easiest thing to do, and we didn't have to pay any money, and he did a really good job on it. And we could be ourselves with Simon, because we know him, and we, you know, he can be himself with us, which is important. He doesn't have to dance around us or anything like that.
And I've got a physical copy, and it's brilliant to just have that in your hand and then go through it and have those pictures and words and everything there.
Yeah, it's good. You know, I think we're all big fans of, well, we're big readers, but we all like music biographies and autobiographies and stuff, and I think we had a pretty good benchmark of what we wanted to be, and Simon seemed to be on the same page. And I think he's quite, like Andy said, we were at ease with him to be very candid in a lot of ways, but then we wanted to treat the band's history with respect as well, you know, because a lot of people have
you know, very fond memories of certain albums and certain things that we, you know, you don't want to be petty about stuff, you know. You have to kind of sometimes take the higher ground when it comes to some rancid business dealings. You know, you don't want to be that bitter man ranting about they stole my money. But every band's been through these kind of things, and course, I think Simon got a really good balance with the book, and I think it's, you know, obviously it is weird to read a book about yourself and stuff you've been through, because your take on it is maybe different to a lot of other people's take on it, and also to the reader. But yeah, I think he did a brilliant job. Good on him.
Yeah, fantastic. Well done, Si. Well done. And I saw him tweet that it's being re-released in French. Now, is that true?
Yeah. Well,
French translation. Wow. Of it coming out, which is really cool. I've
It makes sense because we were really popular in France in the 90s. Mm. We're very popular still in Belgium, and we were popular in Canada as well, which is having. And there's been talk about other versions of it coming out, but you know, it's with people from New Zealand, Australia, and North America buy it as well. And I think we were really surprised because the first run of it sold out. You know, we thought maybe it would sell a few thousand copies to a hardcore fan base in the UK. Yeah. But that sold out really quickly, and that was good because it looks well then to the publisher's jaw box. I see that they're dealing with somebody with a fan base that reaches just outside of UK and Ireland.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. And obviously at Bloodstock, now you said this is going to be your last show of the year. How are you feeling about it? You've played a few other festivals on the run up to this. Has it just been nice getting back on stage?
Yeah, we just did Steelhouse. That was the only festival, and it was lovely. And we were on about the same time in the afternoon. And I think with this one, it's a lot bigger, it's a lot better known. Hmm. Our drummer is from Derby, just down the road.
Okay.
So it's I mean, I think I'm not overthinking it because I just want to get up there and play for 45 minutes. I'm really looking forward to it. Yeah,
I'm sure it'll be a lot of fun. And with all that now, is there anything else we can expect from you guys going forward? Obviously, you know, going to be in the studio now and touring next year, but any other little things?
That's pretty much it. There's no, you know, there's no big revelations or anything like that. It's kind of, we're just glad to be back, you know, and getting things moving forward. As Andy said, we had a lot of projects in the pipeline, which obviously came through, you know, 2020 and stuff, 30th anniversary stuff. I'm just looking forward to, you know, it's such a lovely position to be in. You know, we've got a load of new material, which we're going to do, and then we also get to do the 30th anniversary as well. So it's really nice. You know, there's a lot of stuff there. There's a lot of, I suppose, energy refocusing on the band, and I think everyone's really up for it. So, bring it on. Let's do it.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to everything. But, congratulations on the last 30 years, guys. It's been out of the story. And thanks for taking the time.
Our pleasure.
Thanks for having us on.
My pleasure. Cheers.
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
So here we are now on the last day, Sunday, at Bloodstock Festival, and I'm joined by the wonderful booker and director, Vicky. How are you doing?
I am tired. Whoever thought of this extra day, which was me, but I mean, it was great. It's a great idea, but I am knackered. Yeah. But full of happiness.
I can imagine. Well, 5 whole days of live music at Bloodstock. I mean, I know you're tired, I know it's been long, but there must be so much of you that is so proud that you've been able to pull this off now and be back in the field experiencing all of this.
It feels humbling, a bit surreal, because we still can't believe it's happened because it was so close to the bone. Yeah. Grateful that it's happened because there's a lot of events that didn't. And just the fact that we've also had this amazing weather. I feel like we've just, somebody's listened to the fact we've got a festival and weather. You don't get both.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's either lashing down with rain and muddy, or it's very, very sunny. So I'm glad it's the latter. But I mean, how have these last kind of 2 years been for you? Because I'm sure with everything being down with Bloodstock not being able to happen last year, there was a lot of kind of maybe sadness and turmoil and trying to build everything for this year. And then when it came so close to it will not, you've been able to put it off and see so many fans. Has it just been wonderful to see the community embrace it even more, holding on to their tickets and wanting to really do as much as they can for the festival?
Yeah, I mean, I think it shows that the metal community is huge.
Yeah.
This has been, on many levels,
levels for all of us, not just me, so I suppose I speak for everybody, it's been a horrible 2 years. I'm not good with uncertainty, and we've all had uncertainty in our work and personal life probably, and you know, not knowing if we've had an event or not has been horrible. And I think we've just mulled through it. I've tried to take it day by day, week by week, and not think too far ahead on anything, and also not look at the news, because I think the news perpetuates and terrifies people. And I sort of look at it now that 12 months ago, I remember being sat in this field, crying, because I thought it was a very good idea to maybe come down to the site on the day the festival should have happened.
Wow.
I know, worst idea ever. I was just in tears.
Can imagine.
I was like snotty, and my husband was like, we need to leave, you look terrible.
Yeah.
And I laugh at it now. Never do that.
No.
And I'm just grateful. I'm just overwhelmed. I'm tired, but for all the right reasons. It's been a horrible 12 months.
Yeah.
And I look now that the music industry is starting to return.
Yes. Yeah, no, it's wonderful to see. But like, just for an insight to people, obviously, you know, you guys and the team work so much behind the scenes leading up to the event, but the work doesn't stop there. You've been running around, there's been countless things I know from bands having to pull out last minute due to COVID and everything like that. But just what do you do a day to day on site running around?
So from my perspective, when I'm here at the festival, I'm the band booker. So my job is to make sure all the bands, the agents, the managers are happy. I spend a lot of time talking to fans, because you know these people are spending their hard-earned money with us to have as good time as possible, so I want to gauge from the fans what they like and don't like, what they want to see more of, you know. So I suppose I'm a bit more of the social bunny over the weekend, make sure I'm doing interviews so people I can get my point across.
Yeah, of course,
and make sure the bands are happy, because happy bands means they'll go and come back again. So it's manic. We've all got our different little job roles at the festival. You know, all of the family do different things, and we all sort of stay in our lane. But when it comes to the weekend of the festival, everyone's doing everything. I mean, Adam, one of my directors yesterday, was towing a car that had broken down on the opening day of the festival.
Oh, wow.
Because it was blocking the A38. So he actually took his truck. Rather than waiting for the rescue truck to come out, and he moved it off because it was blocking fans from getting into the festival, and it helped the person get off the road. We'll do whatever's needed.
You've got literally taking it into your own hands.
Absolutely,
to make sure
absolutely.
Things happen. Oh, that's incredible. But no, this is my first ever time at Bloodstock. You know, I've never been before, and just going out on the site straight away, like one thing I noticed was how much of like metal families seem to be here.
Wrong.
Like I know people who are in their late 20s and stuff who are there with their dads and whatnot, and their mothers, but I've also seen a lot of children coming here, and I saw a kid yesterday, couldn't have been older than 5, in pure Cradle of Filth makeup. That must be like a nice thing to see, that Bloodstock is really open to anyone.
We literally, I suppose, have one of the most family friendly, it sounds such a cliche, it really does, but it is.
Yeah.
You know, people have brought their kids since day dot, and we've got people that bring babies, little toddlers, and we love to see it, because A, it's parenting done right. You know, if you're going to start your kids listening to anything, you're going to start them listening to metal.
Yeah.
But it makes me feel good and the family feel good, because they feel safe enough that this event is safe enough to bring their kids to it, which it is.
Yeah.
And it is a real family feel. It's friendly, that it's got a good vibe. There's no them and us, because that's never how the festival's been.
Yeah. What's been your favourite moment of the weekend so far?
Oh, I suppose it was our 20th anniversary, and we didn't realise that Devin had got a little video he made for us that he brought us on stage on the Friday night, sung happy birthday to us, which we didn't know was going to happen, and then presented us with a Bloodstock birthday cake.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, that so far has been my... But, I mean, there's so many.
Yeah,
you know, you've got... You can imagine what we see and hear and get to, you know, experience. I have a lot of good memories.
Good. That's the most important thing, making these memories and stuff while you can.
We haven't been able to make any in the music world for the last 12 months.
Yeah, literally.
So, and I sometimes pull on, if I'm having a bad day, I would normally pull on, oh, but that happened at the festival, this is great. We haven't had that recent memory to do that to, so we have now.
Yeah, but you gotta make up for it, gotta make up for lost time.
Yeah.
Well, one thing I loved as well is the fact that on Friday after Skin Dread played, who are awesome, probably the best festival band out there, members of your team went out and already announced acts for next year's lineup, which I thought was such a nice touch. And you got to see the live reaction to everyone from a crowd.
Yeah.
And as soon as Lamb of God came up, I saw people crying, doing backflips. Literally, it was like if I thought I was watching like a surprise wrestler coming out.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
I mean, we really wanted as a festival to say, look, we're on this year, we'll make it as big as possible. Yeah. But imagine if we can do a band announcement live on the screens with at least 20 bands, including two headliners. Mm. So I've worked my arse off to ensure that we had as many bands confirmed as we could. So we've got an announcement ready. We put this lovely trailer together with a snippet of each band.
Yeah.
And I stood on front of house watching the announcement.
Right, okay.
And I filmed it.
Yeah.
And I loved seeing the reactions. I saw people screaming and crying and hugging each other. And it, honestly, I was in tears because that's all we want to see. You know, people are so happy with next year already. All we look for, it's such a cliche, we just want, you stand on stage and you look down and you see that many people having fun. How can that not be something you want?
No, of course.
To experience.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure it's nice as well to be able to give them that kind of sneak peek and say, look, you don't have to wait another 8 months to find out who's playing. Here it is.
We want it so that you know as quickly as possible. I've always had this thing, as soon as I confirm bands, I get them out, announced.
Yeah.
I don't hold back on anything because they want to know, fans want to know before they're spending, you know, £150, who am I spending it on?
Yeah.
So now you've got a good gauge of at least 20 bands for next year.
Yeah. Is there anything for people who maybe haven't been to Bloodstock before, or maybe from the outside look at it and think, or maybe it's a little bit too heavy for me, that you would like maybe say to them to think, well, maybe, you know, there's other things here, and it's more about the atmosphere and the community sometimes?
Yes, I mean, I would say it isn't as heavy as people think. I mean, we've had Europe play the festival, we've had Alice Cooper, we have a lot of rock bands, we had Mr. Big play, you know, we've had sort of singing on stage with ballads. It's more the experience, you know, we've got like four stages, so there's so much for you to see. And I've got a lot of people that attend that are actually not necessarily into metal. They want the experience, and there's so much to check out. So you might not be a metal fan, and we don't just book a particular genre of metal, we book everything, because I'm not big on the whole genre thing. I think there's far too many genres that people are like, can we have a pirate black metal band? And I'm like, if one
what
exists,
is that?
Like, exactly. You want literally, I think the fans make these genres up to throw us, because some of them I'm like, that is not a thing.
Hmm.
So yeah, you know, it's a cliche. I sound like I'm coming out with some real cliches, but it's true.
No, I can totally understand. And obviously tonight is, you know, you're going to end it off with Judas Priest celebrating 50 years as a band playing. I mean, that's got to feel like a nice touch as well, being able to have a band of that like magnitude celebrate something.
And it's huge because it's our anniversary.
Yeah.
It's Priest's 50th. It's Saxon's 40th. You know, so it's a real big day today for us.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, you wouldn't think a band, bless them, is celebrating 50 years. It just goes to show how badass Priest actually are, have been going and pushing out amazing music for that long. So it's been a real important weekend, finishing on a really important day.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, fingers crossed now everything gets better and we're having live shows as much as possible. But what is something that you would like to bring to Bloodstock next year? Or are you looking at it?
I think, you know, I'm always trying to enhance the lineup and bring in different styles of bands so that we have such a big cross section. So you've got 20,000 people, it's very difficult to sort of please 20,000 people if you see it that way. Yeah. You know, there's so many different genres of music. I think the festival, we're always learning, so we're always trying to sort of take on new, what the fans are saying they want to see more of. So we have like a big debrief when the festival ends. We have a huge debrief, and then we put out sort of feedback forms for the fans to fill in, because without their feedback we don't know what we need to still be changing. But we think we do a pretty good job of touch wood, getting it kind of right. So it's very difficult to say until we get to sort of looking at the infrastructure. There might be small changes to the site, but nothing too detrimental.
But it does seem that that connection with the community and its fans are there and everything, and it's wonderful to see. But I won't keep you much longer because I know you've still got to run around and everything. But I have to ask you, I was shocked by the amount of different things people were dressed up as. I mean, normally at festivals you get that anyway. There's someone, there's always dressed, someone dressed up as a crayon or some random thing. But not to the extent I've seen at Bloodstock. So over the years, what's the weirdest thing you've seen on site?
Oh, good God. What, people dressed as?
Or anything.
I mean, I did see a guy, I don't know if I can say this on air, that had a sock on his penis and a butt plug, and that was it.
Wow.
I mean, and he had a fairly rocking physique, so that kind of worked.
I
think he had, from what I remember, which was pretty good, I think the butt plug had a chain on it. I mean, I was paying more attention than I probably should have been. But it's one of those things where you just have to look.
You know,
and seeing guys,
it's like a car crash, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, you got to stare. And seeing guys crowd surf in a mankini when people are just trying to pull the mankini off is always entertaining. That never gets boring. So, but the outfits, never surprise me.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing with Bloodstock. You can wear what the hell you like, and you'll never be judged. That's just not what we're about.
No, yeah, that does seem the perfect fit. Well, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me down. It's been a great weekend. I've loved experiencing it, and hopefully it'll be my first of many Bloodstocks to come.
Absolutely, and make this your first of many.
Yes, thank you so much.
All right, take care.
You're listening to Sammy Podcast! Yes! Well done, brother. Well done. Thank you. Not that I had any reason to doubt you. You are a professional broadcaster by now.
Ooh.
And that was very, very interesting. Was there anybody you were worried about talking to? I know Barney. I was either expecting you to have a photo of the big purple dinosaur or the frontman of Napalm Death. So it turned out it was the fella from Napalm Death, and I'm very, very happy with that.
Yeah, although I think it would have surprised a lot of people if Barney the Dinosaur was at Bloodstock. But no, I think the whole weekend was very good. I enjoyed all the conversations we had there. Ending it with Vicky was having a great insight into the behind the scenes of the festival, and even just stuff like Mikey from Skindred. I think, you know, he took a lot of time and it got deeper places, and it was just nice to see everyone's different kind of viewpoints and everything going across the festival. For some established bands who've been going for 30, 40 years, to bands like Vex, to breaking it onto the scene and getting a lot of fans of that weekend as well. Yeah, never been to Bloodstock before. Think I'd definitely go again. It was nice to do a different festival. I've done the same kind of 4 or 5 every year since 2014. Yeah. So it was nice to add something a little bit different there.
Nice. Was there any sacrifices at the festival?
No, but there was a lot of funny costumes, as I talked to a lot of these bands about. I was very impressed by everyone's commitment to making each other laugh. So everything from people wearing a t-shirt that says Jesus is a cunt to a person standing next to him going, Jesus isn't that bad.
I did see that t-shirt. I did see that t-shirt.
That was going around a lot.
People, it's wrong, but yeah, it's good.
people were just dressed as everything. So yeah, just a really, really wholesome weekend. And I just want to say thank you very much to the whole Bloodstock team for inviting us and for everyone who looked after me, from Vicky to Kirsten, Ollie, Charlotte, Donnie, and just everyone else.
The dread. Don't forget the dread.
Everyone else in those bands. And don't forget the Bloodstock 2022. I've already announced 20 bands for the 2022 lineup, and tickets are available now to see the likes of headliners Lamb of God, Gore, Merciful Fate, Bury Tomorrow, Exodus, Static X, Butcher Babies, and so much more. So head over to the website for more details on that. You want to come next year now to watch Lamb of God, is it?
Oh, I'm 100% in. Yep, I'm here now. Well, that's if this hopefully none of my Mormon friends, I've only got one, can he get married again? I don't even know if he's allowed to get married again after being married.
So this is something that happened all weekend. I bumped into a lot of people, and you was come up in conversation, and some people were confused that you weren't there, and I had to explain that you were at a Mormon wedding, and everyone's reaction was very, very different to where someone asked the question, how many wives are involved?
Well, because he's a British Mormon, I think he's only allowed to take the one wife.
Oh.
Because it's only you're only allowed to marry one person over a year. That's the British government laws. So yeah, it was only the one wife, but I think she was Catholic as well. So it was just my friend Jonathan's the Mormon. So he wanted to get married. He met her 6 months ago, mind. And yeah, so they got married in a Mormon church. I don't know what I was expecting. There was no aliens or nothing. I didn't see any magic vest or pants and stuff, because apparently they wear that. I don't know, because I didn't see any. I do know me and my friend Scott had a good time and had a laugh and looked funny in the photos, because we had photos with the bride and groom. And when we did, me and my friend Scott, we had photos and we posed like the young bucks, right? Either side. We were both facing, showing our muscles off. And Jonathan, I'd met the bride for the first time at the wedding, because obviously he's only known her 6 months and they live in Leeds. As soon as I met, I was like, oh, you look beautiful today. Congratulations. Seemed to be making Johnny very, very happy. And Jonathan turned to her and said, I was expecting Sean to burst into flames as soon as he walked in the church.
Wow, yeah.
which is funny. But
not
also
a great
shows that,
first impression on someone, I guess.
I don't mind. Well, she's Catholic, so perhaps she thought, oh, thank God, I'm not the only non-Mormon here. Thank my Catholic God, I'm the only Mormon. I'm not the only Mormon here. But no, it was interesting. It was nice to see everyone. Check this out. I got recognised in the wedding.
Ooh.
What's some it? Guy, come on, do me... Well, watch this. Listen to this. You are not... listen to this for a twist. You're not expecting the end of this, right? So I'm sitting on a table, table 10, right? The last table to go up to the buffet as well. I'm not angry, and that's why I didn't bring that up, but thanks, John. So sitting on my table, a guy turns to me and goes, I recognise you. And I was like, oh, here we go. Of course you do. I'm Merthyr's number one musical export. Of course you bloody indirect. And he said, did you used to come to Scouts here? And I sat back in my chair and I went, bro, that was 22 years ago. I was like, you've recognised me because you've imagined me wearing a green shirt, a neckerchief and a toggle or swoggle or whatever, swoggle or whatever they bloody called you.
Yeah.
I was like, that is mental. Like, do you used to come to Scouts here? Like 22 years ago, I was a scout, right? Probably only for a couple of months here as well. And this guy recognised me from that and not from the band, which was refreshing.
All this.
It was, all this. Well, unless it's my voice, how's he going to... we don't really put many of the videos up, do we? So, and if we do, it'll be over on patreon.com/sadnerd, where we put up a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff and other chats and photos. And yeah, check it out, patreon.com/sadnerd. Help the boys out, because you even get bonus episodes where we send one of us to their potential death. And then we come back with great episodes just like this. So
yes,
help the boys out. So, patreon.com/sapnin. Please.
Yes.
Please, please, please.
Please do. And let us know what you thought about this episode. If you'd like us to do more bonuses or just any guest suggestions over on our social media pages at Sapnin Pod on Twitter and Instagram. And just before we wrap this up as well, I know that there's a lot of festivals and events coming back and everyone's having a good time. The world is opening a bit more, but just would like to remind everyone to try and stay as safe as possible and keep getting tested. If you go into an event, get tested before, so make sure you're not bringing anything to there, and get tested afterwards to make sure you haven't spread anything in case you've caught anything at an event. It's very, very important. And we just try and look after each other in this heavy metal rock alternative community. But speaking of lovely events, we should plug the fact that you are performing twice this very weekend with your band Raiders, Sean.
Well, yes. I don't know how you've managed to jam us into lovely events, but yes, August the 20th, 2021. This is coming out tonight, which is Tuesday. Friday, we play Bridgewater at the Cobblestones. Please come and see us. We play with Bridgen's fantastic I Can't Die. And also the day after, we play Dick Whittington's, lol, pub in Gloucester. So that's going to be interesting if it's actually a pub, because I'd imagine they've got locals. And what I find about locals is they normally tend to be old men who are going to absolutely hate me. So come along, August the 20th, August the 21st, Bridgewater, then Gloucester. Check out the dates and the venues and all the information at Raiders Band UK on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Grindr, TikTok. What was that threesome website? Anyway, yeah, so check all that out. And yeah, oh, one more thing before we finish and move on. Is there anyone that you spoke to that you didn't record? I'm just wondering if you saw anybody or met anybody that you...
Oh, yeah. It's like, did a little bit of schmoozing, and just it was just nice to see other people around and catching up with people backstage and whatnot. The Bastard Sons of Phil Campbell. I can call them that because that's the band name. No, Todd, Tyler and Dane from Phil Campbell and the Bastard Sons. I saw them about, had a good laugh. It was very funny because in mid-conversation, someone was dressed up full gear Darth. Well, I reckon it was actual Darth Vader. He was there. And Todd had a good photo with him of Darth Vader sat on his lap, which I have a video of, so I'll probably be posting that on my socials. I've got more things from Bloodstock, so follow me at @mhrichards_ if you haven't. And yeah, it was quite funny then because it was me, Dane, and our friend Matt Stocks, of course, all three part of podcasts, had a little podcast triangle just going off about how we book things and guests in the world of podcasting.
If I find out you three were slagging me off, I'd batter all of you. But also, check out Matt Stocks' podcast, Life on the Stocks, Life in the Stocks, in fact. I said that wrong, stupid mouth. And yeah, Drum for the Song, Dane Campbell's podcast, which is really good. He's interviewed a bunch of famous drummers, and he's also become part of our Patreon lately, I noticed.
He is.
Thank you, Dane.
So come and join our Patreon. You never know who's going to be there. Also, I saw Danny Felf walking about quite a lot in full makeup.
How tall is he?
I'm taller than him.
Yeah, but what are you? You're nearly fucking 6 foot anyway, aren't you?
5'11", 5'10", whatever.
Are you?
I don't know. Yeah.
All right then. So how much shorter is he than you? Ruin Danny Felf. His name is only short for Danny.
Yeah.
He's shoulder height to you.
Yeah, maybe just above. Yeah, yeah.
What's that? That's gotta be 5'5". The ghost in the fog. Mad man. I don't think I've ever seen Danny Felf in the Danzler's flesh.
Did you know?
The French would say. I don't think I am. Oh, do you know what? I saw them at Download one year and they were playing in the middle of the day, right? It was either Download or Sonosphere. They were playing in the middle of the day, right? And like The Undertaker in wrestling, right? Cradle of Filth are very, very much a nighttime act and should not be seen during the day, right? Because no amount of fog machine can make it dark enough, or also no amount of fog machine can cool you down where your makeup doesn't come off because you're sweating in black latex. Yeah, that was the only time I think I've ever seen him in the flesh, so maybe he'll be at the Heavy Music Awards so I can size him up. Ed. And by size him up, I mean see how tall he is, not square up to Danny
Oh, wow. That's a photo opportunity we do need, though. But no, we've got a lot of exciting things on the horizon now. A lot of announcements to make in the following week, so keep an update on everything via our social media pages. You get an exclusive first look and announcements before we're allowed to tell anyone via our Patreon, patreon.com/sapnin. And we'll be back on Friday for another weekly episode.
Woohoo!
Until then, keep party rocking.
Fucking hell, conviction, you said that with them. Jesus Christ.
Aww.
Yeah, keep on keeping on, everyone. Stay safe. Wear a fucking mask. Don't be an idiot. Get a vaccine. Try not to die, for the love of God. And we will see you on Friday, each and every Friday, forever, until one or both of us dies.
I'm not speculating.
It'd be super unfortunate if we both die the same week. Especially if we're not together. If we die in a car crash, that's expected, isn't it? But if we...
Fuck.
If we just... If we went the same week of an illness, that would be strange, wouldn't it?
I had a really good weekend, and now we've ended here.
Sorry, Ben. Hey, welcome back to reality. Your reality is working with me. Here comes some misery. Anyway, fucking Sapnin. I got you now.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.